Real College Podcast is presented by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and is a production of Radio K.
Okay, I got a question. What's it going to take for a guy to catch something other than a Pidgey? Can I get an Abra, perhaps? How about a Squirtle? I don't think I'm asking for much, but if I come across another Rattata, I might scream. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, congratulations. You are one of the rare few who have not been exploring the world in attempts to find and catch as many Pokemon as your little legs will allow. The world has been abuzz since Pokemon Go was released to mobile platforms, and if you've been scratching your head wondering what the big deal is, well, you're in luck. Because on today's show, producer Jackie Renzetti attempts to answer that question as she hunts down budding Pokemon trainers and asks what is so appealing about this new virtual reality craze. And later, in a participation points, producer Emily LePain speaks with the president of the University of Minnesota's Pokemon League. We also find out which cartoon characters are role models, and we hear about all the cool shows happening this week when JP Knocker gives us this week's Word on the Street. I'm Patrick Sharkey, and we're just getting started on this week's Real College Podcast.
Summer break began about 2 months ago, but there's 30 people outside Walter Library at the University of Minnesota.
Honestly, I've never seen some of these people here, and I've worked this job for a while, and even Walter, where I work over there, is filled with people playing the game.
That was Matthew Bukowski, a university security monitor. He says there's definitely been a noticeable increase in people walking around campus within the past week. Nearby, university student Hung stares intently at his phone. His arm stretched out in front of him, he adjusts his aim, he taps the screen, and sure enough, he's got him.
I'm catching crappie right now and trousy. I just caught a Taurus down there.
They're all playing Pokemon Go, the latest smartphone sensation. Pokemon released the game in the United States July 6th, and it's now available in 26 countries. The game uses your phone's GPS and clock and makes Pokemon appear around you and all the other players on everyone's phone screens. It uses augmented reality to make it so that it really does look like there's cartoon creatures around you. Picture looking at your phone screen while using the camera, and now picture a little Pokemon popping up. That's pretty much what it looks like. And now picture tons of college students stopping by real-life landmarks to get supplies like Pokeballs at Pokestops. Or maybe they're catching wild Pokemon at lures, which players can set up for a fee, or duking it out at gyms, which are preset locations. That's pretty much what the U of M campus looks like right now.
Look around here, you know, everyone's playing Pokemon right now, so I really enjoy like seeing people, you know, playing this, so I'm not like the only weird one walking around playing this game.
Hung's not wrong. Forbes reported last week that Pokemon already has more downloads than Tinder does, and predicted it will soon surpass the number of Twitter users. Forbes also reported Wednesday that the game is now the largest mobile game in the United States, with more than 20 million users. It beat out other top games, like Candy Crush and Draw Something, which are both popular games that did make a big splash when they first came out. So, what makes Pokemon Go any different?
It's pretty quirky. I don't know, I feel like it's like a mix of going back to a childhood game, and yet at the same time, like, looking around here, it seems like pretty much everyone here is at least like 20 years old. So it looks like we all kind of grew up on the game, and it's kind of weird, just, it's a little bit of childhood all over again.
Other players say that because the game requires you to move around outside to play it, it's led to new connections with people and their surroundings.
When you're just walking down the street and you see everybody's phones out, I just have random people coming up to me and going like, hey, are you playing Pokemon? Oh man, yeah, definitely, that's awesome. Like, give me a high five. Did you catch that one Pokemon? And it's generally people that you would just normally never talk to, especially like walking down a street.
I walked past and we sort of collected a group of us, which were trying to hunt down the same Pokemon. And this one guy came from a different direction and he's like, oh, are you looking for this Pokemon? It's down there in the fields. Go get it before it disappears. And we all got excited and we ran towards it and we all caught it. So it was just an experience where you can interact with total strangers on a different level. And I loved that feeling of just being a part of a group.
We were chasing a Haunter, which is not a super common Pokemon, but we were tracking it, and we watched a car pull up. It was a relatively new Mustang that had like a bunch of dude bro type people in it, and all four of them just piled out of this little coupe to go chase a Haunter. They parked the car on the wrong side of the road and just took off running. It was just fun to watch. People who would otherwise not be into Pokemon a whole lot are really getting into it, and it's cool.
The game has also spurred some concerns. The Los Angeles Times reported that players fell off a cliff in northern San Diego County, and at Anaheim, a player was attacked and stabbed while playing the game. The Los Angeles Times reported that these incidents match up with other similar accidents and odd happenings across the country. Other than physical safety concerns, some players told me they were uneasy with potential data mining risks, and they say it's still pretty glitchy. The servers have been iffy the past week, and on Saturday, a hacking collective said they used an attack called a distributed denial of service, or DDoS, to cause most, if not all, of the servers to crash for a few hours. But still, players at the University of Minnesota say they found positive potential for the game. Graduate student Ruthie Stein says she came across an idea that stuck with her.
Somebody was trying to bring it together and look at the big picture. How great of a movement this could be that everyone's outside moving together. So they said, try to bring a trash bag with you if you got a group of people going. Pick up litter if you see it. Like, be aware of not only what's in the game, but your surroundings. That's a big part of it. And then also for people that are in cities, if they see homeless people while they're doing Pokemon Go, don't just ignore them. Bring bottles of water or something to improve the community around you. So if we could just make that more effective in our community to not only make this about a game or game purchases or the next fad, it could definitely improve the world around us.
For Real College Podcast, I'm Jackie Renzetti.
I'm gonna be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test, to train them is my cause.
For Real College Podcast, I'm Emily LePain, bringing you this week's participation points. This week's segment focuses on the University of Minnesota Pokemon League, a student group founded out of the desire to meet, connect, and interact with others in our university community through the shared interest of Pokemon. To learn more, I sat down with Austin Bueno, the Pokemon League's president. To start off the interview, I just kind of wanted a little bit of background. When did you first get involved or interested in Pokemon? Like, when did that start, would you say?
Actually, I started with Generation 2 with Gold and Silver. Kind of an interesting story. On my 7th birthday, which is my golden birthday, my godmother gave me Pokemon Gold. And so I played a lot of that. So I kind of started with the second gen rather than like the first gen. So that's how I kind of got into Pokemon, really, is kind of like sort of in like the big craze.
So what would you say a typical meeting looks like for the Pokemon League?
Well, at first we usually start right at around either 5:30 or 6 o'clock, kind of depending what the semester is. We usually have like the president speak about any announcements that are going on. And then we get right into like our events. So like we have like events like the trading card night, retro night, actually creating a Pokemon night. So it just kind of really varies between, and it's usually a hangout place usually.
Okay. So it's like, it's more of like a hangout than like a typical group meeting would be then.
Yeah. I think it's like one of those things. It's like, you know how students are really stressed out during like midterms and finals. It's usually kind of a place to like go over there and hang out with other people who are interested in this or interested in the same things as the typical student, if they're into Pokemon or not.
What do these events kind of look like when you do hold larger scale events that aren't just that are tailored to like kind of a wider audience than just the people in the club?
Really, typically, if we have like a big event, for example, we had, I think the last year we had an ice cream social to begin the year. So there was a lot of like newer students coming in and just kind of just hanging out, just playing the games, watching the anime or the movies possibly. And then we had like another event because it's the Pokemon's 20th anniversary. And we kind of sort of did the similar thing. Usually we just kind of just had like a little party, like a celebration. that Pokemon's finally turning 20.
Yeah, it's been around for the better part of our lives.
Yeah, so it's a really big deal, especially with all a bunch of, like, Pokemon stuff, like, coming out. Like, especially with Pokemon Go, it's just, it's almost like the late 90s all over again.
Yeah. So what would you say, or before we get into that, how often do you guys hold those, like, larger scale events, would you say?
Actually, a typical meeting's usually around 2-3 hours, but people can just, like, visit or, like, come, and then, like, they can leave whenever. Like, we're not, like, forcing them to, like, stay for the whole time, because we understand that we have to do studying as well. It's just another thing to, like, release stress, I believe.
What would you say is your favorite thing about Pokemon, like, in general? Like, why do you love the Pokemon world, the games?
I feel, for me, personally, I have Asperger's syndrome, and sometimes for me, I get really anxious, and I just kind of don't understand sometimes, like, social cues and understanding all that. And usually for me, it helps me socialize even better, because almost everyone's played Pokemon before, and it kind of helps me a lot better as a person. I feel it just brings together people. That's one of the reasons why I really enjoy it so much.
Yeah, that's awesome. I totally agree. I think that it's definitely something that a lot of people our age especially can really connect over and have a conversation about, because it was such a large part of most of our childhoods. Like, I know that I played Pokemon a lot when I was a kid, and I still do play it. I'm in the middle of a Leaf Green game right now. But so then what would you say is the best thing about being part of the Pokemon League?
I would say the people. It's a very, very laid back and sometimes knowledgeable, because we kind of, like, talk about, like, the same things, and we usually also, like, kind of get sidetracked with Pokemon. We talk about, like, other stuff other than Pokemon, which is pretty cool. I actually made a lot more friends compared to my, when I was at my last college and high school together, which is a really big thing for me, because when I grew up, I didn't really have a lot of friends, but I had, like, acquaintances, because I used to play sports and stuff, and that's when I was kind of, like, wasn't into Pokemon, or kind of, like, was kind of sort of too old for playing Pokemon.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. I feel like it's probably very kind of laid back and pretty relaxing in terms of the meetings and stuff like that.
Yeah, and so it's very enjoyable. We have it, like, every Monday, because of Pokemon Monday. Kind of get the pun, maybe.
Yeah, I do. That's a very good pun.
Yeah.
But in your opinion, what do you think the Pokemon League offers to the university and our larger student body as a whole?
I kind of feel the reason why we should have this is that it gives an opportunity for a student to, like, interact with other people. And I kind of feel that the Pokemon League offers a lot for, like, people who enjoy Pokemon as a franchise and from all different spectrums for each, like, Pokemon games they ever played or, like, what seasons they watched. I think for us, the Pokemon League offers, like, a safe environment for all students. And we want to provide a safe place for people to get together and talk about Pokemon.
That's it for this week's Participation Points segment for Real College Podcast. I'm Emily LePain.
For Real College Podcast, I'm JP Knocker, bringing you Word on the Street. Starting us off on Monday, Virginia's Car Seat Headrest plays at the Triple Rock Social Club. Steph Chura will be opening the show. Supporting his new record, Teens of Denial, frontman Will Toledo is continuing to refine his nostalgic sound in his songs about youth. From Teens of Denial, this is Vincent. On Thursday, Atlanta-based punk rock group The Coat Hangers perform at 7th Street Entry, and LA Witch and local artist Monica LaPlante will be opening. LaPlante just released a new EP last spring, and The Coat Hangers also released a new album this year. Here's the title track from The Coat Hangers' album, Nosebleed Weekend. On Saturday, Kitten Forever celebrates their 10th anniversary at First Avenue's main room with a little help from their friends, Condominium, Candace, Royal Brat, and Tony Pichka. Kitten Forever's minimalist instrumentation consists of just bass and drums, which makes for a plethora of catchy punk songs. Take a listen for yourself with their track, Temple. Also on Saturday, Dr. Dog will be playing the new outdoor venue at the Surly Brewing Field. The folk and psychedelic rock band have been churning out tunes for over a decade, and it seems like they make a perennial stop in the Twin Cities. You can crack open a Furious at the show and enjoy such songs as the 2012 gem from Be the Void entitled How Long Must I Wait? That wraps up this week's Word on the Street. I'm JP Knocker. Keep listening for more Real College Podcast.
My name's Jackie Renzetti, and I'm here to bring you the question of the week. On Friday, I stopped people on the U of M campus to ask them, what cartoon character did you look up to as a kid?
I'm from Belgium, and we had a cartoon, Lucky Luke, and that's the guy I looked up to. He was a cowboy, and, you know, always went to the West, and that's what made me come to America. So, Lucky Luke.
Buttercup from the Powerpuff Girls. She was just a really tough, strong girl. I mean, it was nice to have a girl cartoon character that was really strong.
I liked Ariel from The Little Mermaid. So she was, in her own way, a really strong woman and did her own thing and also sang some cool songs and got to do some cool stuff.
All I can think of is SpongeBob, but I don't think I really looked up to him that much. Probably more now than I did back then.
Why is that?
I don't know. He just seems more relevant now. I don't know why.
I didn't really watch cartoons personally as a child. I think I liked the cartoon with the cats, and her name was Sagwa, which in Chinese is silly, and so I liked her character the most. I liked that she made a lot of mistakes in the show. Like, that was kind of her point, was that she screwed up and messed up the most. And I thought that was pretty good to teach kids that it's okay to mess up or to not have your life go perfectly fine.
You know, Batman was awesome. You know, it's not your typical superhero, you know, that always plays nice or whatever. So, and he didn't have any superpowers. So I think I'm going to go with Batman. Otherwise, like, you know, Dragon Ball Z, I think my favorite character was either Piccolo or Vegeta.
Why is that?
They weren't the main character. I don't know, I always, like, root for the underdog. And they're also kind of like Batman, you know, not quite good guys, but mostly good.
Francine from Arthur. I thought she was really tomboy and really cool and edgy, and I really liked her personality.
My favorite cartoon character is Ben 10 because he was just like, it was just like an action show, and he would always like fight people who were like way older than him and stuff. Like, he would stand up to people.
Meg from Hercules, because she was like totally like, women are awesome, women are independent, like even before it was a cool thing.
Fictional character will be the Power Rangers.
And why is that?
I don't know. It's just something awesome about having magical powers that can call upon giant dinosaurs.
I would like to answer it, you know, to give you a name of a cartoon, but when I was growing up, when I was a kid, I'm 70 now, and I'm from Greece, in a small village, we didn't have any cartoons.
Were there any favorite stories where that you really liked, that you thought there was a character that taught you a lesson?
There was the Saint Basil, Basil, we call it, which here you call it the Saint Nicholas, and he would take donations from the kings and give them to the poor people.
Yeah, I guess Mulan.
Why is that?
She was, you know, the first, like, Disney princess, and I was a big fan of Disney, that I remember being, you know, somebody visibly strong. She saved her whole country, and she didn't need a man to do it. And I was 7 when it came out, so it was pretty impactful.
That was Jackie Renzetti with this week's Question of the Week, and that's all for the Real College Podcast. The show is produced by Jackie Renzetti, Max Fuller, and Emily LePain. The managing editor is me, Patrick Sharkey, and be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes and tune into Radio K every Sunday at 6 p.m. To play us out is Super Connected by Broken Social Scene. I hope you have a great week, and thanks for tuning in.